The hour.
This is the Quality News Network. In the Middle East, the United Nations ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah took effect today. In southern Lebanon, six Hezbollah fighters were reportedly killed by Israeli soldiers after the truce began. In Lebanon, Hezbollah's leader declared his guerrillas succeeded in a strategic, historic victory. In Jerusalem today, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert took sole responsibility for the military offensive. He admitted to deficiencies in how it was waged. The head of the Likud opposition party said there were many failures in the management of the war. Meanwhile, Lebanese civilians are returning to their homes. Humanitarian groups are sending relief supplies in convoys to southern Lebanon. More than 900 people were killed in the 34 days of fighting. Also in Jerusalem, the medical condition of former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is said to be worsening. He is suffering from double pneumonia, and tests show his brain function is deteriorating. In London today, the terror level was downgraded by authorities from critical to severe. Travelers will now be allowed one carry-on bag. Also, books, computers, and music players will be permitted on board. However, for the fifth day, some flights from London were canceled. In the U.S., the TSA has relaxed some rules for airline carry-on items. Now, small doses of prescription medication, lipstick, and baby food will be allowed. Additionally, all passengers will now be required to take off their shoes, which will be x-rayed. In Baghdad today, a series of blasts killed at least 47 people. The U.S. military says a natural gas explosion is to blame. However, Iraq's prime minister insists that car bombs and a rocket barrage caused the deaths in the Shiite neighborhood. In Sri Lanka today, a roadside bomb killed 7 people. The Pakistani ambassador narrowly escaped being injured. Sri Lankan government officials blame the rebel group for the attack. In Gaza today, 2 journalists working for the Fox News channel were kidnapped from their SUV by gunmen. One is an American reporter. The other, a cameraman, is from New Zealand. In Michigan, 3 Texas men have been arrested on terror-related charges after they were found with 1,000 disposable cell phones in their vehicle. The FBI now says, though, that there was no evidence the man planned to bomb the Mackinac Bridge. In Washington, the Government Accountability Office reports that military recruiters are increasingly resorting to coercion and harassment to meet recruiting goals. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We have business news coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
This fall, PC prices have hit new lows. Some desktop computers are retailing for $299, while bargain laptops are selling for less than $399. A tech analyst says prices are expected to remain low through the winter. The Home Shopping Network is introducing a new Shop by Remote service. The interactive feature allows shoppers to buy products they see on television through their remote control pad. 20th Century Fox will sell their movies and television shows for online download. The direct-to-drive service will cost $20 for movies and $2 per show episode. Swedish wireless equipment maker Ericsson today announced it will expand 17 mobile phone networks in China. Deals are worth more than $550 million. Microsoft will sell a software package allowing consumers to create their own Xbox video games. It will cost $99 a year. AOL announced today it has purchased a company that makes tools for web-based chat and instant messaging. Segway has unveiled 2 new personal scooters. The new generation of scooters will retail for $5,000. And nationwide, gas prices are now $3.03 a gallon, according to the Lundberg survey. The highest price in the nation was in Chicago, while the lowest was Charleston, South Carolina. Light sweet crude settled at $73.53 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 9 points, the Nasdaq is up 12 points, the S&P 500 up 2. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramoff.
up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean fry.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
The Bruce Birch radio program for this Monday, August the 14th, 2006. Glad to be back with you again this afternoon after a bit of a weekend there, a little bit of a break for me and for you as well. What a crazy weekend it was. You know, I looked at watched all the various developments with the Middle East peace accord, the ceasefire there, and you know, it lasted all of what, 20 minutes? Somebody else got killed. I mean, you know, these people, I tell you, they love violence. It seems to me that they love violence more than they, perhaps their own religion. I don't know. We've got a number of things coming up on the show today. I'm going to take a look at some of the top stories and take a look at what puts the con in conservative. So stick around for that. If you want to get in on our, avail yourself of the full online experience, you can come to our chat room at headonradionetwork.com, headonradionetwork.com, and look on the left-hand side of the page. There's a link there to get you into our chat room where there's quite a few folks hanging out this afternoon. I guess they're glad to see some live action on the horn today. Also on that left hand side of the page, you can get our archives. You can go straight to our archives. You can go to our Listen Live page. You know, you can go check out all kinds of stuff, but I strongly recommend you check out the chat room there, because it's a nice community. People are relaxed, they're hanging out, they're having a good time listening to the horn shows. Now, the first story out of the gate. Oh, also, before I get to that, let me give you my email address. I always forget to do that. It's Bruce at brucebirch.com. I have a blog site over at brucebirch.com. I put up a show post every day, usually within an hour or so of the show time, so you can go check out and see what's going to be on the show. But you can also email me, Bruce at brucebirch, that's B-U-R-C-H, Bruce at brucebirch.com. If you have a story idea or if there's something you want to tell me, shoot it to me, and I will, you know, especially during the show, if I get it and it looks like something I want to share on air, or as long as it's, you know, fit for consumption online, then send it to me and I'll see about getting it on the air. All right? Okay, man. Now, moving right along, I just wanted to, you know, there's a number of interesting stories that are in the hopper for today. One of them in particular is this situation. Apparently, some Fox journalists have been kidnapped. Now, this is as of just a little while ago. Apparently, two people were kidnapped in Gaza today. Two Fox News journalists were kidnapped in Gaza today, and that's developing as we're. Coming online, coming on air today. So I'll keep an eye on that and see if indeed they'll get ransomed out or if something will happen regarding that. I'm sure that I'm going to head over to foxnews.com at this point right now, as much as I hate to do that because we know what Fox is all about. Head over to foxnews.com right now and check out and see what's if there's anything about that situation there. It does not look like there is, but I have it on good source that apparently there have been some journalists kidnapped in Gaza. Now, that's not a good thing, but that's what happens in some of these war zones. Now, I wonder why they were kidnapped. That's the question. That's the question. Interesting post over at Common Dreams today as well by Randy Schultz. I'm not sure if he's any relation to Ed or not, but he's out of Florida, the Palm Beach Post. There is an interesting order or an interesting post about the GOP and their fear mongering, and I'm going to read you a little bit of this because I wanted to get it out of the gate and let's talk about the con and conservative, right? The con and conservative. Now, when you think con, what do you think? Somebody trying to swindle you, right? Somebody trying to feed you a line of horse patootie, horse pucky, horse crappery, perhaps. Well, today and over the last week, it's been the conservatives have been feeding you this line of poop with regard to the entire UK terror plot using Prel and whatever the hell it was, some sort of sports drink and some sort of concoction they were going to make to blow up a plane midair. These terror guys, these guys who are trying to use terror. Apparently, after all of the indications are that the arrests that were made in this plot were moved up at the request of the Republican, the conservative, the conservative administration. Apparently, the UK is saying that they did not want to move that quickly, but that a request from the White House. Now, this is some of the scuttlebutt that's out there. I can't swear that it's absolutely, completely true, but I've read enough articles. I've read enough articles about this that it seems to, where there's smoke, there's fire, and apparently, one day after Joe Lieberman lost the Democratic primary in Connecticut, Vice President Dick Cheney began the campaign of fear. He accused Democrats of wishing for a return to a, quote, sort of the pre-9/11 mindset in terms of how we deal with the world we live in. I'm laughing. I'm going to tell you why I'm laughing. Every time I hear this pre-9/11 mindset, I want to hurl. I want to just puke. And I laugh at it because it's just absolutely ludicrous. Now, let me just say this. The pre-9/11 mindset, if there is one that exists, it was in the Republican administration who was taking a vacation and didn't want to be bothered with presidential daily briefings entitled, Bin Laden determined to fly planes into skyscrapers, or whatever the hell the name of that thing was. But it was a very ominous thing. I'll tell you, if I were president and I saw something like that, I would think, guys, I think we might want to take a look at this. We might want to, keep an eye on the airports. What do you think? Instead, knowing how much he likes vacations, Mr. Bush decided to go ahead and go play some guitar or something. He decided he wanted to take a break. So the pre-9/11 mindset, if you want to call it that, was definitely on the part of those who are in power, not necessarily those of us who are sitting out here talking about terror. Because one of the things some of these veterans, Iraq War veterans, on the program before, and the things that they've talked about in dealing with some of the people that they've dealt with over there in the occupation that they've been carrying out at the behest of the moronosphere in Washington, they've talked about how they've built relationships within the communities that they're patrolling by being benevolent. Yes, they're over there. Yes, the Iraqi prime minister wants us out. Yes, the Iraqis want us out. The majority of people here in this nation want them to come home. But yet and still, because he doesn't govern by polls, Mr. Bush is still continuing the central war front on terror in Iraq. That didn't have anything to do with 9/11. That's the central front in the war on terror in Iraq. There's no connection. There's no connection at all, and we'll talk about that later. But point being is that when the soldiers, they've done things like give soccer balls to the kids. They've done things like set up community centers. They've done things like being good guys. Now, a whole lot of them, there's been some that have done some really nasty things over there, too. But there's been some that have done some really good things, too. Now, and invariably, in those neighborhoods where they do the good things, guess what happens? They get treated well in return. They don't get the IED, the improvised explosive device attacks that the other brigades get. Instead, they get treated well. So, just following that little microcosm of the way things work, perhaps if we treated people well, they might treat us well in return. I don't know. Maybe that's to pre-9/11 mindset. Anyway, we'll talk about that some coming up in the rest of the show. And I want to go back to that article because I really appreciated the way this gentleman Randy Schultz put it together, and we'll talk about that some. Now, if you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. You can also email me, Bruce@BruceBurch.com. We'll take a break, and I'll be right back. This is the Head On Radio Network.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart. Closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights, meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. Glad to have you back with me again this afternoon. It's about 20 minutes past the hour, 21 minutes past the hour, here on the eastern coast of the United States of America. And, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Let's go back to that story. The conservative party, the Republican Party. Now, I spent some time yesterday with my father. My father is 75 years old. He is was a lifelong Republican. He says to me yesterday, I can't get out of the party. He says, it's kind of like the mafia. Every time I try to get out of the party, I send them letters and tell them to stop sending me stuff. They send me two letters in return. Looks like they're kind of scrambling to try to hold their party together at this point. And, you know, quite honestly, they're using some tired tactics. Now, okay, let's look at this for a moment. The pre-9/11 mindset. Even last Thursday, the Republican leadership in the House began calling the Democrats defeatocrats who want to stand aside in the global war on terror. Well, let's look at one thing. First of all, drop the global war on terror horse crappery. There is no global war on terror. What there is legalized kidnapping. What there is warrantless wiretapping, illegal eavesdropping. What there is illegal detentions. They've had illegal courts. The Supreme Court has said you cannot try people the way you've been trying people. What we have is concentration camps. Is that helping to win a so-called and fake global war on terror? No. Absolutely not. If anything, that helps to prolong a global, so-called global war on terror, because what you're doing is you're creating more terrorists. Yes, there will always be wackos out there who want to take themselves and as many as they can with them to their final resting place, wherever that may be. Not saying that that's not true. But what I am saying is, using their logic, they're not ending, or they're not winning, because they're creating more terrorism. The GOP logic is, to use the term loosely, of course, the logic, that is. Senator Lieberman embraced the White House's Iraq strategy. Iraq's, Bush says, is the central front on the war on terror. So when Democrats reject a supporter of the war, automatically it's the party is soft on terror. Now, that's their logic, okay? In times past and in years past, our country was known for its benevolence. Our country was known for the aid that we would send to places, and there, you know, and Today, what we're known for is the bombs that are dropped. Today, we are known for the guns that are fired. Today, we're known for the troops, albeit a small minority of them, but the troops that are committing murders and rapes. And there are some that are doing it. We can't stick our head in the sand about this. In Iraq. Oh, yeah, in our support of places like Israel, who are trying to wipe Lebanon off the face of the map. So when the Republicans come to you and they say to you, you know, and enact, you know, these crazy rules for the Transportation Security Administration to fulfill about liquids, I mean, it's like anything that they can do to try to engender in you that you should be scared. You need to be scared. You've got to be scared, because if you're not scared, we can't help you. Well, I'll say it, President Bush, decider, Easter egg decider, I am not scared. I'm not scared. I refuse to be scared. I refuse to be shocked. I refuse to follow along in this cesspool of fear-mongering that you guys are trying to push on me. For 5 years, you and your party have tried to convince us that you know better than the Democrats on how to protect the country. Why is it then that terror attacks have increased tenfold since 2001? Why is it then that we have terror attacks that are being foiled in our own countries now, when we were supposed to be taking the fight to them there in Iraq? Why did you shift your focus from Al-Qaeda, which, according to you, carried out 9/11, to Saddam Hussein, who had no involvement in 9/11? Why, Mr. Bush? Why, indeed? Because you need to have a booger bear out there. You need to have someone that you can go, he's bad, and he's trying to kill us because he hates freedom. Bull. If the haphazard foreign policy that is engendered to anger and upset the Islamic world continues in place, that is what creates terrorism. You cannot go into a culture, try to destroy it from within, and force a different kind of government on them at gunpoint and expect those people to be happy with you. It is not a logical thought or action to do that. What is a logical action? This is crazy. Okay, now I'm getting into the stammering mode. As a part of a counseling course, I was once taught cultural competency, which means essentially that you do not try to force a client into believing what you believe in order to help them. You meet them where they are, and you help to use their culture as a positive thing, rather than trying to force a democracy in a part of the world where a democracy has never really existed, not the likes that we have. But we got to be scared. Because if we're not scared, then it doesn't work, see? If we're not scared, the fear-mongering doesn't work. Randy Schultz writes, Mr. Bush's decision to invade Iraq has left the country weaker, not stronger. The army is stretched and drained. The real terrorism threats, Iran, Hezbollah, and North Korea, have grown stronger because we have been distracted by the mistaken decision to start a war in Iraq. Well, I may not agree with Mr. Randy Schultz's opinion about Iran. Certainly North Korea has a wacko in charge. Now, certainly, at some point, we as a nation are going to look at this and think to ourselves, no longer will we listen to this load of horse crappery. No longer will we allow these people to scare us into submission and allow them to run the country and run amok, usurp our freedoms, govern with tyranny, because we're supposed to be scared. Well, today I say to you, listener, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. The only thing that you have to fear is your own fear of what might happen to you. We will stand united against the Bush crime family. This is Bruce Burch. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and take your phone calls right here on the Bruce Burch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Dick Cheney not only wants to be vice president, he wants to be secretary of state, too, and he's succeeding. What a relief it must be to him that Colin Powell's no longer over there, someone he couldn't muscle, though he could outmaneuver. But Rice he can handle. Lately, he's been browbeating her for being insufficiently supportive of Israel's war against Lebanon, this according to the New York Times. So if you want to know why the United States hasn't for weeks demanded an immediate ceasefire, it's because Cheney didn't want one. And he's infiltrated the upper reaches of the foreign policy establishment with his own people. John Bolton at the UN, a Cheney man. Elliot Abrams of the NSC, who travels with Rice to the Middle East, a Cheney man. Cheney's own views on Israel can be discerned from the guy he picked to run Middle East policy in his own office. David Wormser, who co-wrote the 1996 position paper for the Likud government entitled A Clean Break. Cheney himself echoed that phrase at an AIPAC conference back in March. It's Cheney and the neocons who are still running the show behind the scenes. Condoleezza Rice, kind of like Bush himself, is window dressing. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything. Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
I can feel no sense of measure, no illusions as we take refuge in young man's pleasure, breaking down the dreams we make.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burch radio program. It's nearly 35 minutes past the hour, and glad to have you back with me again this afternoon, and I'm glad to be back with you. Now, let's go straight over to our free speech phone lines here on the Head On Radio Network. You want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366, or you can email me, Bruce, at brucebirch.com. Our good friend Jim is joining us on line one. Jim, how are you today, sir?
Okay, how are you, Bruce?
I'm doing fantastic, man, fantastic.
I'm glad you had a good weekend, a good holiday with your family.
I did.
Good.
Certain.
Very good. Listen, there's something I want to bring to your attention, and I'm just looking at my New York Times Sunday, August 13th, 2006, the Week in Review, Section 4. And there's an article by David Sanger, and I'd just like to share a few paragraphs of it with you, if I may, please.
Please.
It's called Calling It Jihad, Make It So.
Right.
Soon after the British police announced last week that they had broken up a plot to blow up aircraft across the Atlantic, President Bush declared the affair a stark reminder that this nation is at war with Islamic fascists. British officials, on the other hand, referred to the men in custody as, quote, main players, end quote, and declined to discuss either their motives or ideology so they would not jeopardize, quote, criminal proceedings, end quote. The difference in these initial public characterizations were revealing. The American president summed up language reaffirming that the United States is locked in a global war in which its enemies are bound together by a common ideology and a common hatred of democracy. For the moment, the British carefully stuck to the toned-down language of law enforcement. A critical debate in America today among political candidates, among the national security experts, is whether 5 years of war declarations and war-making have helped to make the United States more secure. Or, even in the absence of a major attack on American soil since 9/11, has the strategy created greater danger by providing terror groups with exactly what they crave, the sense that they are a united army of jihadists? And has this strategy radicalized large swaths of the Muslim world in ways that were not imaginable as recent as 2003? For the White House, the bomb plot last week was Exhibit A in its defense against the war strategy. The plotters would go after the Americans, war and a war in Iraq. But critics argue that the emerging the global war on terror in Iraq was creating new jihadists. From Indonesia to Waffenmauer, the East Indian era, where much of the plot was hatched. And I think that basically dovetails on what you were saying earlier.
I would say it dovetails perfectly. It sounds like David Sanger and I are joined at the hip, or at least at the brain.
Well, I thought you might find that interesting. And, you know, it appears to me as though there's a deliberate action in here for them to accelerate the British police into making this thing, you know, public before they could probably even ensnare more people if, in fact, there were people to be ensnared. And they're using this as to foster, to enhance a climate of fear that they hope is going to, you know, I really believe, in their own minds, begin to influence the outcomes of the elections in November.
Well, you know, James Dobson is saying now he's going to turn out his minions, his army of supporters. I really think, though, Jim, that the American public is getting fed up with the same old tired line of crap when it looks like, you know, all the indications are that terror is increasing rather than abating around the world.
Well, you know, we're fueling it with our own strategy. I mean, you know, just basically going into Iraq just basically exploded that whole thing into a huge fireball, and what was basically confined to an area in Afghanistan was, you know, expanded into the entire Middle East, which is exactly what bin Laden wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure when bin Laden saw what Bush was going to do and heard Eric Fleischer come out on the night of the war, when it's beginning, I'm sure Bin Laden was just clapping his hands in glee because he said, this is exactly what I want. I'm going to have a secular state destroyed, and it's going to be a haven for terrorists everywhere, and it's going to bring out people who were jihadists who never thought about being jihadists.
And there they are.
Yeah, and there we know. And since 2003, in terms to quantify the number of jihadists, I would dare say that their ranks have probably quadrupled. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure what's going on. And we have simply gone from rack to ruin and from bad to worse. And this administration's policy are not only flawed, but they just abysmally failed. And for whatever reasons, I really believe that they think that this will keep them in power.
I look at this, I'm not going to tell a lie and say that I think that I came up with this idea, on my own. I mean, I saw a bumper sticker where all of the world's greatest wisdom exists, of course, Jim.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
On bumper stickers, and the bumper sticker said, "We are creating terrorists faster than we can kill them." And I saw that a couple years ago, or about a year ago or so, and it has stuck with me ever since. And I look at the foreign policy, and I look at articles such as I actually had that New York Times yesterday as well.
You saw the article?
Yes, I did. It was a fantastic article, too, and there's actually another one in there that I read that I may mention sometime in the program today.
Okay.
But all of the logic that there is that exists in the world would say that if you are killing people, they might get kind of pissed off at you, right?
I think you're right.
I mean, it's like, come on. Oh, no, we're going to kill them, and we're going to beat them up, and we're going to rape and pillage their houses and their women and their children.
And with their hearts and minds.
Yeah, but. I'm thinking that he might want to take a page from Dale Carnegie. I don't know.
How to win friends and influence people.
Exactly. At least something. I mean, anything, right? What's the other guy's name? Zig Ziglar.
Hey.
Yeah.
Or some of these other people. I don't know.
Anybody that would say to him, look, if you want to win friends, if you want to influence people, if you want to create a positive society and a positive outlook, you have to do good things. There's an old adage that says, if you do good things will happen, right?
That's right. Bruce, you remember that movie called The Cat People about 20 years ago with Malcolm McDowell and Natasha Kinski?
I think so.
Remember the David Bowie lyrics for it?
Oh, okay, yeah, that movie. Yes.
And when he said, and what we're doing is exactly what he used in those lyrics. It's like putting out fire with gasoline.
Yeah, really. And that's what's happening. And it looks on. It looks to me that we've got another situation that's they really wanted. I I'm reading some more articles. That are indicating that the administration, excuse me, really wanted the Israel-Hezbollah conflagration to really become the way that they could go, find a reason to attack Iran. I mean, they're just looking for anything, for Ahmadinejad to get hammered. That's they're just like, don't look at me funny. I'll come over there. I mean, that's basically how it's working right now. So.
And the more problems they have over here, the more fear they can instill among voters here and galvanize the faithful into giving them 4 more years of power or keeping control of both houses of Congress. And, this thing is just a merry-go-round, and we just got to get off. I mean, good Lord, these people have had it. If Americans are so stupid now that they can't realize or begin to realize what is happening to them is happening to their country, then, it's absolutely a very, very dire time. That's all I can say.
I really do think they're waking up there, Jim, and I think that it's taking how they're waking up is by people like you and me who are having conversations with people that we know and going and just assuming that they think like we do. Let's just go ahead and assume, even though they may not, assume that they do and open the comment with, I can't believe that they're doing, you know, the things that they're doing, that just, you know, they're, you know, that they're supporting murder in Lebanon. Or that they're supporting, or whatever it is, you'd be surprised how many people that I've had come back with me and go, you know, I've been wanting to, you know, I've thought about that a lot, and you're absolutely right, but I don't know anybody who thinks like that.
Right.
And have a conversation.
Well, all I can say is, you know, this has happened before in history, and it can certainly happen again. You know, people can be, you know, hoodwink, and they can have the wool pull over their eyes so long. And I hope it doesn't take a major conflagration in this country to bring people to their senses or to their knees and realize exactly, you know, what they've been supporting and what's been going on. I mean, you know, in my opinion, and I'm going to ring off here because I know you have other callers and other things you want to cover, I have never witnessed such a theft as far as our government and everything is concerned. And truly, they have made what was once a decent place at one time into a den of thieves.
Yeah, well, it has. And it seems like, you know, the way to get promoted in the Bush administration is to make, the more heinous the mistake, the higher you go.
I mean, you talk about the money changers in the temple. We need somebody to go in there and really clean house, that's for sure.
Yeah. And well, I think that's going to be the job of the voters, you know, is to make these elections this fall so overwhelming that there's no possible way in hell they can actually steal it.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I certainly hope they can get these voting machines straight so that people can have accountability and they can also have verifiability as to who voted where. And no more slip-ups like not enough disk space and other tricks that happened back in the last 2004 election. I mean, some of this stuff, it's almost like they didn't even care if they covered it up very well. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they feel like, I think that they have reached what I call hubris. And I hope that that will precede their downfall.
Imperial.
Well, listen, I hope you have a good program. I missed your fourth estate, but I understand there's some changes there. But anyway, you take care, and I guess we'll be talking later, okay?
That sounds great, and watch your flusion frogen.
My beaten frugin?
Yes, that too.
Yeah, well, you tell Poochie to be able to watch your beaten frugin too, okay?
I certainly will, Jim. Thank you a lot for your call.
Your kaflufengongin.
And that, and the other thing too, whatever that is.
All right. Well, we'll talk about those later. Listen, enjoy the conversation. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great afternoon. That's our good friend Jim from the an undisclosed location somewhere in the northern. I think he said he's out of the Moronosphere at this point. Somewhere in the northern hemisphere. We'll just call it the hemisphere. You are listening to the Bruce Burch Radio Program here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back after this break.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
you'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil, that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. Or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
We're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, radio for a freer U.S. of A. Glad to be back with you again this afternoon and looking at some of the things that are going on around the nation. It has really turned itself crazy. That's the word, crazy. I'm going to cover a really quick story. I was going to save this for later on in the program. Let's do it now before we go to our Quality News Network. Apparently, there is a website called ChristianNet. Now, you Christians, you crazy Christians, you're going to like this one. Apparently, there was a poll done recently about sex. And the poll came up with some very interesting results about sex. Now, the poll results, okay, let me just read you this. This is from the ChristianNet.com. I'm just going to read this to you because I think it's kind of interesting how they use the words and string them together. If there could be one place protected from the cancerous infection of pornography and sexual misconducts, one would assume that the Christian church would be that sanctuary. But recent research is revealing that no one is immunized against the vice grip clutches of sexual addictive behaviors. The people who struggle with the repeated pursuit of sexual gratification include church members, deacons, staff, and yes, even clergy. And to the surprise of many, not. A large number of women in the church have become victim to this widespread problem. Recently, the world's most visited Christian website, ChristianNet.com, conducted a survey asking site visitors 11 questions about their personal sexual conduct. Survey results are eye-popping and expose the truth about who is and who is not at risk for developing an ongoing problem with certain repeated sexual acts. Survey says immunity does not exist. Amazingly, there were 1,000 responses to the poll conducted by ChristianNet.com. ChristianNet partnered with Second Glance, not Second Chance, but Second Glance Ministries, in evaluating the poll responses, and it seems that the Christian community is struggling with many of the same temptations that the secular society is faced with. Quote, Clay Jones, founder and president of Second Glance Ministries, is quoted as saying, "The poll results indicate that 50% of all Christian men and 20% of all Christian women are addicted to pornography. Addicted to pornography. 60% of the women who answered the survey admitted to having significant struggles with lust. 40% admitted to being involved in sexual sin in the past year, and 20% of the church-going female participants struggle with looking at pornography on an ongoing basis." And who's the culprit? That's right, if you guessed the Internet, you would be winning the rubber chicken, because that's what they're blaming it on. Jones said there has been a dynamic paradigm shift in the behavior of Christians over the last 4 years. Technology, the Internet, has allowed pornography to flood the marketplace beyond a controllable level. Oh, y'all are into censorship, aren't you? Clay Jones's ministry also includes providing Christian intervention programs for churches and for individuals. That means if you're gay, they beat the crap out of you. All of these Second Glance Ministries services are free. Aside, of course, from tithing and giving your firstborn over to them and going to all of their church services. No, can we just be quiet? ChristianNet.com's president, Bill Cooper, says, "We directed over 1,000 inquiries to Second Glance Ministries in 1 year. We are seeing an escalation of the problem in both we are seeing an escalation to the problem in both men and women who regularly attend church." Well, I got to tell you, them thar temptations, they're going to get you every time. They're going to get you every time, so y'all just need to be watching out for that kind of stuff there. I read this story, and I thought to myself, I said, "Self, this is kind of an interesting story. I think I'll bring it on the air and see if I can't rustle up someone to talk about that that whole Christian net thing, that old sexcalation thing going on there for them evangelicals addicted to porn." That's a pretty sad thing. That's a pretty sad note. Now, let me ask you this very quickly before I go to the top of the hour break. If you are so reliant on morality, how is it that half of all Christian men are addicted to pornography? I mean, that's a pretty large number. They get prayed up in the morning and something else in the afternoon. I mean, I don't know. This is kind of crazy. It's a good story to lead into the news, though, isn't it? Anyway, I'm sure I'll hear about this later. Oh, boy. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. We're going to go over to the news. Hear that for about 5 minutes, and then I'll be back after the top of the hour. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In the Middle East, the United Nations ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah took effect today. In southern Lebanon, six Hezbollah fighters were reportedly killed by Israeli soldiers after the truce began. Lebanese civilians returning to their homes jammed the roads despite an Israeli travel ban. Humanitarian groups are sending relief supply convoys to southern Lebanon. More than 900 people were killed in the month-long fighting. In Washington today, President Bush held the first press conference since his return from vacation in Texas. He said that Israel handed the Hezbollah guerrillas a defeat. He also characterized the war as a broader struggle between freedom and terror. In Lebanon, Hezbollah's leader declared his guerrillas succeeded in a strategic historic victory over Israel. In Jerusalem today, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said the military offensive against Hezbollah eliminated the state within a state in southern Lebanon. Also in Jerusalem, the medical condition of former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is said to be deteriorating. He has been in a coma since suffering a massive stroke in January. In Baghdad today, a series of blasts killed at least 47 people. The U.S. military says a natural gas explosion is to blame. However, the Iraqi Prime Minister insists that car bombs and a rocket barrage caused the deaths in the Shiite neighborhood. In Gaza today, two journalists working for the Fox News Channel were kidnapped today from their SUV by armed gunmen. One was a reporter from the United States, the other a cameraman from New Zealand. In London today, the terror level was downgraded by authorities from critical to severe. Investigators are searching for links between an Islamic charity in Pakistan and the suspects held in Britain, allegedly involved in a terror plot to blow up airplanes over the Atlantic. In Sri Lanka today, a roadside bomb killed seven people. The Pakistani ambassador narrowly escaped being injured. Sri Lankan government officials blamed the rebel group for the attack. In Havana, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez met with ailing Cuban leader Fidel Castro, who celebrated his 80th birthday today. In Michigan, scientists have found a strain of the bird flu in some wild swans. The USDA says it is not the same as the deadly strain, which has hit parts of Asia and killed 138 people worldwide. In southeast China, 255 people have died from a typhoon that struck the coast Thursday. At least 100 people are still missing. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
In the U.S., the TSA has relaxed some rules for airline carry-on items. Now small doses of prescription medication, lipstick, and baby food will be allowed. Additionally, all passengers will now be required to take off their shoes, which will be x-rayed. Starting today, the State Department will issue passports embedded with computer chips. They can be read by special scanners at airports and are designed to speed up border crossings. In Europe, there has been a 27% increase in rail traffic on the high-speed train service Eurostar in the past 4 days. PepsiCo announced today that its chief financial officer will be the new CEO. She will be one of 11 female CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. This fall, PC prices have hit new lows. Some desktop computers are retailing for $299, while bargain laptops are selling for less than $399. Segway has unveiled two new personal scooters. They will retail for $5,000. And nationwide gas prices are now $3.03 a gallon, according to the Lundberg survey. That sets a new record. However, some analysts say that in the coming weeks, prices could go down. Light sweet crude settled at $73.53 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 10 points, the Nasdaq was up 12 points, and the S&P 500 was up 2 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head-On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. That's right. This is the second hour for Conversation Radio, and we don't put the con in Conversation Radio. We take the con out of conservative and try to do Conversation Radio with it. It's about 6 minutes past the hour here on the Head-On Radio Network. If you like this show, I strongly, I emphatically recommend that you check out the Dr. Bill O'Brien radio program that happens here every day from 12 until 2. Tomorrow he'll be live. He's live Tuesday through Thursday, and he has repeated programs on Monday and Friday. Don't know what he's got in store for you tomorrow, but I can guarantee you it'll be a damn fine show. Check him out right here on the Horn every day at noon till 2 p.m. Eastern. That would be 10 until noon. I'm sorry, that would be 9 until 11 a.m. on the west coast, the left coast out there, if you guys, and obviously everything in between. Following him is our good friend Mark Levine, the Radio Inside Scoop at radioinsidescoop.com. You can check him out by going to his website or by checking him out tomorrow during the day by checking out his show, 2 to 3 every afternoon here on the Horn, Eastern, 11 to 12 Western. And then following him is our good friend Guy James out of Florida, and then me. And then following me is our fantastic pal Bob Kincaid. I understand Bob has the flu, and if he's listening, Bob, I certainly hope you feel better today. I know that it's rough having a flu in the summertime because I've had one myself, so... So let's get back onto the radio program. Bob, hope you feel better, my friend. All right. Well, you know, I went over to this crazy story about these evangelicals and their porn addiction. It's very disheartening. I mean, I just got to tell you, then I'm going to close, then I'll stop talking about it. I just got to tell you that it is very troubling to me that these folks who are having such a hard time with this pornography stuff, it's, especially since the religion that they have really seems to talk against that, and talks against lust and things of those related to that to that nature. Certainly hope that there is some reconciliation there for those folks who are struggling with that, because struggling with personal demons is not a good thing. However, I find it to be very interesting. The reason why I find it interesting is that if half of all of this is not a scientific survey either, by the way, these are folks who did the online poll, which means they're on the internet already, which means that they probably took a break from the porn to do the poll. I don't know. I'm just they might have turned off whatever it is, cows and turkey.com or something. I don't know, whatever they're into. But then did the poll. But it's very troubling because I think what it shows is the issue that perhaps that which you deny and that you are not willing to accept in yourself is that which you will have the most problem with. There's a saying about control. If you try to control behavior, it will come out eventually, and it more than likely will come out when you least expect it. So, surrender is the key, I think, in that area, surrendering. But anyway, I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm just a talk show host playing a Holiday Inn. This is just going south quick. Okay, now, but I wanted to talk about besides that. I'm going to get away from that now because that's one of those things where you can get in deep trouble very quickly, talking about evangelicals and pornography. I can imagine that somebody's already getting mad at me, which is fine. Now, going back over to I also there's a story today out of the Times Online, which is London Times. There is significant. Now, these are the country that we had him over here, and we talked about how wonderful it was to have the Chinese folks here. How wonderful, Mr. Zhang Qingli. How wonderful it was to have Hu Jintao. I guess that's how you say it. I don't know. Hu Jintao was here recently, and how wonderful it was that they're here, and Walmart does such wonderful business with the Chinese, etc., because they really are an enlightened population now. And well, let me just tell you about a story where it just kind of blows that idea out of the water. China's new top official in Tibet has embarked on a fierce campaign to crush loyalty to the exiled Dalai Lama and to extinguish religious beliefs among government officials. Zhang Qingli, he was appointed the Communist Party Secretary of the Tibetan Autonomous Region in May, has moved swiftly to tighten his grip over the deeply Buddhist region. His drive to stamp out allegiance to the Dalai Lama, who fled to India during an anti-Chinese uprising in 1959, has adopted a tone rarely seen since the mid-1990s. At the time, Beijing launched a barrage of angry rhetoric against the region's God King and banned his photograph after he enraged China by unilaterally announcing the discovery of the reincarnation of Tibet's second holiest monk, the Panchen Lama. In May, Mr. Zhang told senior party officials in the region that they were engaged in a fight to the death against the Dalai Lama. Now, let me do a side note here. There is just something that uniquely troubling about a death match against the Dalai Lama. Here's the guy who's supposed to be all about peace and love and all this, and now we got the Chinese death match, fight to the death, cage match against the Dalai Lama. I hope they don't use any folding chairs. Since then, he has implemented several new policies to try to erode the influence of the 71-year-old monk who China's rulers believe is waging a covert campaign to win independence for his Himalayan homeland. Ethnic Tibetan civil servants of all ranks, from the lowliest of government employees to senior officials, have been banned from attending any religious ceremony or for entering a temple or monastery. Damned enlightened bunch of folks the Chinese are, aren't they? They are officials have been required to write criticisms of the Dalai Lama. Senior civil servants must produce 10,000-word essays, while those in junior posts need only write 5,000-word character condemnations. Even retired officials are not exempt. Mr. Zhang told a reporter last week, the Dalai Lama used to be an acknowledged religious leader, which is an undoubted fact, but what he has done makes him unworthy of the title. Mr. Zhang said, few people understood the true nature of the Dalai Lama. Few people understood the true nature of the Dalai Lama. He says, quote, I still can't figure out how he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. What peace has he brought to the world? Well, Mr. Zhang, I seriously don't want you to get the wrong ideas, but you're not doing such a damn good job either. The Tibetan Daily Commentator, identified by the Tibetan name Yidor, said, quote, it is easy for one to see the Dalai Lama's ulterior motive, eventually seeking Tibetan independence. The Dalai Lama has said he does not seek independence, but autonomy under Chinese rule. That's right, Monday, August the 14th, 2006, the Dalai Lama gets challenged to a death match. You heard it here first on the Bruce Birch radio program. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get some more. We'll pull some more con out of conservative here on the Bruce Birch radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question, can I want an answer? Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not Jews like him.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Freer America. And, you know, I just, we were talking about that. I looked in the chat room a little while ago. I couldn't help but laugh. Our good friend Liberal Me posts up there, porn again Christians. That's too much. That is absolutely too much. Okay. Going back over to some of the news stories. That's just too much, man. Okay. Thank you, Liberal Me, for that comic interlude. Now, just interesting story coming out of the White House this afternoon. The White House today has refused to announce support for the Republican challenger to Senator Joseph Lieberman, who is running as a so-called Democratic independent, whatever the hell that is. When asked whether or not President Bush supports Alan Schlesinger in his bid to oust Lieberman, White House press dictator, secretary, Tony Snow answered only, quote, that the president supports the democratic process in the state of Connecticut and wishes them a successful election in November. A reporter persisted, wait, I realize he supports democracy, but I'm wondering, does he actually support his own party's candidate? During a combative back and forth that sometimes had the two talking over one another, Snow indicated that he didn't know for sure whether the president supports Lieberman or his Republican rival, but that, quote, there are a whole host of reasons, end quote, that Bush may not want to back Schlesinger. Snow concluded by saying, I think you know the situation in Connecticut. Sounds like when they slipped each other the tongue, there's a little bit more going on there than might meet the eye. I don't know. I'm just a casual observer. Connecticut is currently seen as unlikely to elect a Republican senator. Schlesinger is seen trailing behind Lieberman, who is running as an independent Democrat, and Democratic nominee Ned Lamont, who won the primary last week and caused Lieberman to kind of, you know, lose his standing there in Connecticut. Isn't that cool? Bush is not going to be backing the GOP guy. He wants to back his buddy Tongue Slicker Joe. That guy. Okay. These people are something, aren't they? They really are. Also going on this afternoon, apparently I was going to share that story, but I'm not going to because I'm not going to be a part of passing along information about terror alerts. Not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. You heard it here first. Not going to do it. Apparently, according to our good friend Seymour Hersh, Cy Hersh, he's been right before. He'll probably be right again. In an article for The New Yorker, renowned investigative journalist Seymour Hersh states that the Bush administration was closely involved in last month's invasion of Lebanon by Israel. Hersh describes the administration's initial reaction to the invasion as strangely passive, with George W. Bush saying on July 16th, it's a moment of clarification, and Condoleezza Rice stating 2 days later that a ceasefire should wait until the conditions are conducive, when they've killed each other off. Hersh's intelligence and diplomatic sources tell him that the reason for this hands-off reaction was that George Bush and Dick Cheney already knew about Israeli plans for a bombing campaign against Hezbollah's underground missile complexes and were convinced that it could both increase Israel's security and serve as a prelude to an American preemptive attack on Iran's nuclear installations. The White House also wanted Hezbollah stripped of the ability to retaliate against Israel in the wake of an American attack on Iran. As one government consultant told Hirsch, quote, "The Israelis told us it would be a cheap war with many benefits. Why oppose it? We'll be able to hunt down and bomb missiles, tunnels, and bunkers from the air. It would be a demo for Iran." The White House and National Security Council have denied knowing in advance about Israel's plans. Okay. Yeah, that was a joke, right? No, actually, that's in print. However, Hirsch's sources made it clear that Israel shared its plans with the Americans this past spring and received strong encouragement. Y'all go on over there and take your guns and kill some of them Lebanese there over there. Y'all go and do it. It's all right. I'm going to Crawford and cut me some brush. Israeli military and intelligence experts acknowledged the American support, but insisted to Hirsch that Israel had acted against Hezbollah solely on the basis of its own interests and not as an agent of American policy. And I've got a bridge to sell you. Richard Armitage, who served as Deputy Secretary of State during Bush's first term, suggested that the White House should take the Israeli example as a reason to re-examine its plan for Iran. Quote, "If the most dominant military force in the region, the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, can't pacify a country like Lebanon with a population of 4 million, you should think very carefully about taking that template to Iran with a strategic depth and a population of 70 million. Seymour Hirsch appeared on CNN to talk about his article, and perhaps we'll have some audio on that tomorrow. But there you go. There you go! We were definitely, y'all going over. It's all right. y'all going over. It's all right. Kill you some Lebanese. It's going to be okay. Really, it is. Oh, yeah. TSM in the chat room is now telling me that we would not allow the bunker buster test in Nevada, so they had to test it in Lebanon. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt it. Now, going back over to another story that I wanted to cover before we get to our bottom of the hour break, apparently, bad news. I don't know if it's good or bad news, but it's news. Hey, why not? Perhaps it could be completely false and it might be propaganda, but we're going to give it to you like it was given to us. This morning, Brian Ross over at ABC News is reporting that federal prosecutors in Miami were prepared to indict Raul Castro, that's right, the brother of Fidel, as the head of a major cocaine smuggling conspiracy in 1993, but the Clinton administration Justice Department overruled them. The officials say Castro, a Cuban defense minister, permitted Colombian drug lords to pay for the use of Cuban waters and airstrips as staging grounds for smuggling runs in the U.S. in the 1980s and early 1990s. A former Justice Department official with a direct knowledge of the case said, quote, "It was a major investigation involving numerous witnesses that was killed at the highest levels in Washington." Tom Cash, former head of the DEA in Miami, said there were numerous national security and intelligence issues that would have made the case difficult. Convicted Colombian drug boss Carlos Lader of the Medellin cartel testified in a 1991 federal trial that he met twice in Havana with Raul Castro to arrange safe passage for cocaine flights over Cuban airspace. The draft indictment, described by a former Justice Department official who saw it, listed Raul Castro as the leader of a conspiracy involved in smuggling 7.5 tons of cocaine into the United States, or, you know, basically what George Bush used around the same period of time. Smuggling 7.5 tons of cocaine to the United States over a 10-year period, at least a dozen other Cubans were also to be indicted. So there you go. Let's go take a break. When we come back, we'll hit your phone calls, and we'll do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You listen to the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine. With my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org, the arrests on Thursday of 21 terror suspects in England remind us that the threat from Al-Qaeda or its offspring is real. I've never doubted that, even though Bush and Cheney make disgusting political hay out of it. So yes, we need to be on our guard, and yes, we need heightened security. But the Bush folks haven't done a great job of it. They failed to ensure that all bags on planes are screened properly. They've left our ports wide open to terrorism, and they haven't safeguarded our nuclear or chemical plants. What's more, you can tighten security all you want, but if you keep manufacturing terrorists, at some point they're going to succeed. And that's what Bush's policies have been doing, especially the Iraq War and the U.S.-Israeli invasion of Lebanon. Not every fanatical act of terrorism can be traced to Washington. Al-Qaeda has its own twisted ideology that mixes nihilistic violence with anti-Semitism, Islamic fundamentalism, and fantasies of a restored Muslim empire. But in Iraq and in Lebanon, Bush just reinforces the creed of the fanatic. And that's the last thing we should be doing. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI. It was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online. And even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL. Whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms. And unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 35 minutes past the hour. We've got about 25 minutes left in the show. If you want to get in on the show, please do give me a call. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. Would love to hear from you. Now, I went over to the break talking about some of this old crazy stuff going on out there. You know, Raul. Okay, look, if your name is Raul, you automatically you're looked at for cocaine trafficking. I mean, I think that's just a rule. If your name is Raul, chances are you were smuggling. Interesting story out of the Northeast today, and actually this was as of yesterday. The GOP, the Grand Oil Party, the gluttonous oil party, the greedy old, I don't want to use that word, old party, is actually having a rough time in the Northeast. Apparently, their poll numbers are down. Looks like we might get some new Democrats out of the Northeast. When it comes to President Bush and the Republican Congress, Representative Jim Gerlach says voters in his suburban Philadelphia district are in a sour mood. That's why when it comes to his reelection, the two-term incumbent says the name of the game is to convince those same voters that he can be independent of his own party. He has turned his standard line about Bush, "When I think he's wrong, I let him know," into a virtual campaign, Freudian slip, into a virtual campaign slogan repeated in interviews and TV ads. The Iraq War and Bush's low approval ratings have created trouble for Republicans in all regions, but nowhere in the GOP brand, nowhere is the GOP brand more scuffed than in the Northeast, where this year's circumstances are combining with long-term trends to endanger many incumbents. That's a good thing. Apparently, Raymond Meyer, a Republican running for an open seat in upstate New York, observed, quote, "People around here are anxious and concerned not about the national state of affairs, but about their personal state of affairs. It's all fine to be scared about terrorism, folks. But if you're paying $3 a gallon gas or more in a lot of places, and you are in control of the world's second largest oil and gas reserves, people start going, wait a minute. What's the deal, man? We took over Iraq. We all be paying 40 cents a gallon like the Iraqis are paying right now. 44 cents a gallon for gas. We're paying right here in Greensboro, North Carolina, $2.98 a gallon. Depending on the taxes where you are, it could probably be from anywhere from $2.60 a gallon up well over $3. Maybe even close to $4 in some places. Last week's defeat of Senator Joseph Lieberman, a Connecticut moderate who supported the Iraq War in the Democratic primary, gave Republicans a vivid look at some of the same angry currents likely to buffet them this fall. A Washington Post ABC News poll this month found Bush's approval rating at 28% in the Northeast. 28%. That old boy, he's going to get an ass whooping. 12 points below his national average. The Republican Congress fared no better. Let's go ahead and head over to the phones. Our good friend Wayne is joining us from the wild, wonderful mountains of West Virginia. Wayne, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic.
That's really great news. You were just there at the end. That's very
good. Isn't it? I think it's fantastic.
Well, listen, man, I went to Mecca this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, that's, labor Mecca, Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
All right.
Where in 1937 the U.S. Supreme Court sided with the Steel Workers Organizing Committee and declared that the Wagner Act was, in fact, constitutional. And the people in Aliquippa at the steel mill had a right to form a union, which led to many great things. And then it's also football mega. Up the street about 20 miles, there's a Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's very true.
So, you know.
What were you doing up that neck of the woods?
Rebitch family reunion.
Oh, wow.
The icing on the cake, brother. Good people, them Rebitches, I want to tell you. I could speak for them personally.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. But in fact, listen, one of my cousins lives in Connecticut. And I never really thought about it too much till he pulled in front of me and I saw his Connecticut plates and he got out and he said, and this guy's into advertising and business, corporate business, okay?
Okay.
So he got out and I said, hey, Mr. Connecticut, who did you vote for in this election? He says, I'm going to have to tell you something. I had to change my registration to Democrat from Independent. But I voted for Ned Lamont.
Right on.
And I said, very good, Larry.
You Rebitches are a bunch of you're a bunch of rabble rousers. That's what I like about you.
That's not an unfair judgment, I don't think.
No, that's a good thing, man. Hey, when I say rabble rouser, I mean it in every positive way it can be meant, my friend.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you, you know, you know the guy that got beat in Connecticut? He used to always talk about momentum.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm telling you what, they lost it. You know, people are finally getting sick and tired. People are finally expressing what they truly believe. And the fact of the matter is, we're on a roll here. And, you know,
absolutely.
It's a good thing because these people have ruined us, you know. And whoever gets elected and... when the Democrats do take over, we got to hold their feet to the fire because they got a lot of things to do. But I think, you know, I think it's going to happen.
I think so, too. And I think that it's absolutely got to be, what we're going to have to do. I mean, it'll be great. We got to get them in power. You know, what I've said to you before, you know, we have a lot of internal debate in our party, you know, obviously, you know, having a Democratic Party meeting is like trying to herd cats, but,
wheelbarrow full of frogs.
Yeah, I like that one. That's a good one. Yeah. But, you know, but the reality is that we have to come together enough to get into power, and then we can have all of our discussions and debate about the future, but, you know, if we're not in power, it's pointless. And, I think we got to get rid of the Joe Liebermans, man. I think he's a fine Republican, though. He really is a fine Republican, I think.
He's an excellent Republican. I battle these guys all the time, people that call themselves Democrats because they think that's the only way they could get elected. And I just tell them flat out, and I tell Joe Lieberman the same thing. If you would at least claim to be a Republican, I'd have more respect for you. But don't start out lying to me. Huh?
An inherent falsehood to begin with is not a good place to start with Wayne. Just note to self. Note to self.
No.
Yes, Joe had no momentum going on, did he?
No, he didn't. And he's not going to win this race either. I mean, these people... Well, you know, most people in Connecticut are registered independent. Yeah, well, the independents don't like the war and these goofy people that are running our country. I mean, they're, you know.
The independents.
Well, they're criminals. That's what they are.
They absolutely are. And the reality is that they are spending our children's Social Security money on rebuilding Iraq using private contractors. I mean, it's insane. It is absolutely, this is the war. We're going to look back on this, Wayne, and we're going to look at this and we're going to say this was the war where privatization of the military took hold. And from here on forward, it's going to be mercenaries.
Yeah, and you know, the scary thing about that, Bruce,
what's that?
We have to ensure that that happens, and that happens meaning that we get to take a look back at this.
Yes.
These people, we are in very, very scary times. And these people, if you've listened to any right-wing radio or television last weekend, they're scared to death. They are scared to death. You know, well, I mean, that Ned Lamont thing is a very monumental thing. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. That's how I feel. These people are scared, and they're capable of almost anything. And I know I've said this before. We've got to watch very closely because they're going to try. Well, you know, look what they did with this airplane thing.
They'll try anything to get reelected.
Look what they did with that. And that whole thing was orchestrated. I mean, it was like a Broadway play. You know, here's what we'll do, blah, 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 blah. And Carl Rose right there in the front directing or producing or probably all of the above. I mean, you know, who could do anything better than him? And it's been proven that they're, I mean, you know, they use this for political means. I think you're going to see a great turnaround. I really do.
Well, we are definitely due for it. There's no doubt in my mind about that. It's time to throw the bombs out. And I will tell you this, Wayne.
And there's
guys like
on both sides, too.
It's guys like you who are motivating the labor in this country. That's going to be where it's going to be won or lost. One more time, we're going to take a lesson from labor in this, I believe, and that's going to be where the rubber meets the road.
It's time for working people to stand up for themselves, and they're starting to do that. You know, like I say, let's be very careful, but let's just keep going forward because I think we're going to make monumental strides in this election. And then we just have to keep working for 208.
And not only that, but we have to, if we're going to be, you know, look, we've always been the party of principle. There's no doubt in my mind, you know. They have what they call morals, which, by the way, I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but we found out that evangelicals, 50% of evangelical men are addicted to porn. I don't know. I just, you know.
Oh, they are.
They claim, well, that's according to a self-reported survey that I reported on. But they may be the party of morals, but we're the party of principle. And, you know, if you're going to have a principle called life, then you need to follow it all the way through and support your citizens' lives cradle to grave. We aren't doing that. It's not being done in this country right now.
No, it isn't. If it's not corrected, it will be the failure of this country.
Absolutely.
Just that simple.
But, don't start monkeying with Social Security. That's
allowed to do that, you know. Don't tell me you're a Democrat and you advocate right to work, you know.
Exactly.
Don't tell me that, you know, because...
Right to work for less and for less benefits.
Exactly. And, you know, I think, as always, I'm hoping that the working class, and that's what it's going to take, will come to the rescue of this country, just as it did in World War II. And, I have great hope. I have great hope. So
I do. I do as well.
I'm telling you, they're scared to death. Listen to them.
Yeah.
Just listen to them. They are frightened to death. And that makes them capable of a lot of evil things. So we got to watch what they do. Brother, I'm going to get off here.
All right. Well, thank you, Wayne, for the phone call. Good to hear from you again, and definitely we'll look forward to the next time you ring me up and we talk labor and talk politics, my friend.
Well, there's going to be a lot to talk about.
That's right. Good night.
All right, pal.
Thank you, Wayne. Okay, you too.
Bye.
That was our good friend Wayne from the wild, wonderful hills of West Virginia. Calling from the wild, wonderful hills of California, our friend David from Eureka.
Yeah,
mine too. David, how are you doing, my man?
Really great. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I've grown quickly to appreciate your program. I agree with all of your thinking, and you get some excellent callers. I'd say that Wayne there was certainly speaking for me. I would not disagree with him on anything there. I'm so suspicious of this White House now because they've been so long misled and disinformed by this Rove Cheney, this plan out how to sell a rotten package, you know, like their closers on some used car lot. I suspect right now that this latest threat coming at us out of England is 97% percent concocted. It is theater. It is this White House's way of saying, be afraid, be very afraid, and Bush is here protecting you. And I don't think they had anything off the ground, and they seemed totally ill-prepared to be any kind of a real threat to any airplanes. They've blown it out of proportion, tried to make something out of virtually nothing just to do their little... Terrorism is real, and we're protecting you. That's what I'm hearing.
I had a friend who I was talking to recently who went down to Mexico. He lives down in Southern California. Went down to Mexico for the weekend or for a couple of days. And all of this broke, apparently, when he was coming trying to come back over the border. And they had a huge, you know, a hard, like they spent like 4 hours trying to come across the border back into the United States. So basically what happened was, as a result of this this plot foiling, is that anyone who is anyone who is traveling anywhere, especially outside of the country, and the folks who are going to be traveling outside of the country are probably, I would say, the demographics would put them in the higher income levels or business travelers, etc., you know, are being impacted by this, and they're being reminded on a daily basis about, you know, this whole terror, be very scared thing. And yeah, it's worrisome on them, but I got to tell you this. I mean, you know, that is that ploy of doing that and raising the terror level alert and having, you know, it was the psychologist who did the tests with the dogs.
Pavlov's
response. It's called reinforcement. Okay. And it's the idea splashed across the papers that terror is real and terror is happening and they're going to kill us all. Oh, and by the way, while you're going through the security line, please take off your shoes and remove all liquids from your belongings.
Well, fewer and fewer people, I think, are buying into this nonsense now. I think that people are becoming aware they've been sold this bill of goods too many times. But some of these cons are trying to concoct an artificial world to live in. Like, they're operating on the assumption, and the statistics is frightful to them, but even fundamentalist Christians are having sex. Well, sex has been around a long time, and in some circles it's even thought to be normal. But if they're painting it as something evil, then it's still a reality that's going to come about, hormones being what they are and all.
Well, and that's just it, is that, you know, the reality is that there's this reinforcement of fear. It's all about keeping the soccer moms, what do they call them at the 2004 election? Security moms. You know, keeping them worried about going to the store or worried about traveling to Mexico for their fall vacation or worried about, you know, and it's absolute nonsense. They even moved up the arrests a week, at least a week from what I read. They moved the arrests up a week at the request of the Bush administration so that it could coincide with the loss of Joseph Lieberman.
Well, everything is a deception from the White House. I'm convinced of that. They are psychopaths who stole our government by rigging elections, and they can't be honest about a damn thing. They have to mislead us and lie to us while they rip us off. That's their plan, and they stay right on it. And surprisingly, some people still buy it.
They definitely put the con in conservative, don't they, Dave?
They do. And look at the harm they're doing to this country while they're, you know, trying to make us think that they're here protecting us and doing right by us. So much appreciate your program, Bruce.
Well, thank you. Glad to have you along as a regular listener, Dave, and then, you know... it's always good to hear from folks who are like-minded and who are trying to make sense out of this incredible morass of insanity that's going on. So,
well, I valued Guy a long time, and I've often tried to stay on to hear you, but I always get cut off. So I'm happy we found a way to get through.
I think what happened was, just as a note, there was some internal network configurations that were changed. So I think actually you hear the same stream on Guy's channel. I think it is. I'm not sure. I don't. You know, I do the. I'm talent, right? I don't know all that other stuff.
So. Well, your monitor, Al Offen, he found a way to get me on it.
Excellent, excellent. See, that's actually a she, and her name is ELO Fan, like Electric Light Orchestra. You remember that band from the 70s and 80s?
Oh, yeah. You know, I never know. The names don't really tell me, I guess. I guess you can have a very feminine or masculine name, but...
But she's
anyway,
good people. So.
I know you're going to stay with your good efforts, and thank you for allowing me the time.
Absolutely. Thank you, David, for giving me a call.
Take care.
You too. That's our good friend Dave from Eureka, California. Thanks to you for being on the program today. Looks like we're crashing, or I shouldn't say crashing. We are lightly touching down on the runway as we come in for our flight. I'd like to ask you to buckle your seatbelts and make sure that your overhead compartments are secured while we taxi up to the gate. It's good to be back on the on the air with you again today. And on behalf of the Head On Radio Network, thank you for flying the Progressive Skies. The show today was produced by our good friend Zach Rebich, another one of those fantastic Rebiches. Thanks, Zach. You did a fantastic job as usual, my friend. Also, I'd like to thank John Fox for being the announcer and the chief engineer of this program and the Head On Radio Network. I'd also like to thank our good friend Gene from Oregon for being our Head On Headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! I have to do it every time, folks. Also, to our good friend Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida, for being our IT professional, systems analyst, and the guy who keeps the bits and bytes streaming at breakneck speeds. I also want to thank Bruce Birch. Excuse me, not Bruce Birch. Ben Birch. Ben!